I just give up now.
I've just pressed record.
Why?
I'm just sweating out of like every pore of my body.
You're
it's like I'm on coke or something. Just like to literally run down the road to do a podcast about Sex and the City is like laughable. I was like, what are you doing? I was like, I've got to get there. Like the stakes actually couldn't be any lower.
It's so funny.
And it's so early in the morning.
It's so early.
The crack of dawn right now.
It's crazy. There was like no traffic.
I woke up. It's like peeled the crust off my eyes. Had some toast and watched some Sex and the City. And like before the like before the sun had risen, there was like no birds chirping. And it was like dun, 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 dun. I just called on it because I was so late and I was just like hysterically laughing because the stakes are just so crazy.
It's crazy.
It's such a big opportunity for you.
I know. This is going to really make or break your career.
Chris, this is really going to pop you off.
Really sorry. There's like literally no aircon in this room. So it's
actually, it's so good for me. When's your food arriving? Because then we'll get a bit of air because the door will open.
Yeah, we'll open the door when your food comes.
I don't know. It'll be great. We'll keep it rolling.
All right.
I can chop it up into bits so we can all have some.
But. Thanks, Zoe.
No, I don't need that. Thank you. Welcome to Sex
and the Sex.
In the Sex.
This is a Sex and City podcast. My name's Autumn Wolf. I've seen all the episodes of Sex and City. I sound so not wanting to be here. So I'm like, yeah, okay, what do you want? Yeah.
Anyway, waking up with the birds.
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
It's very early and I've watched every episode of this is Irby and I watched every episode at least six times. Nice. Seven, including today's one.
Great. And my name's Jordan. I'm watching them for the first time now.
Woo.
Great.
And today we have a very special guest. This is Chris Parker.
That's not my name.
Introduce
no
yourself. Introduce yourself.
Who are you?
My name's Chris Parker, and I've watched Sex and the City. I don't know if I've actually watched it in entirety yet, but I definitely have seen this episode before. And I watched it all sort of like last year. I was like, I'm just going to start from the top.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
That sort of energy. And I must have got through season five because this was familiar. But who knows what happens?
What's your like relationship with Sex and the City? Like, did you ever see it?
So intense.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Tell us.
Well, no, it's just like, as a family, we would watch TV together and it would be like 8:30 and we'd all like hang out. And it was like wholesome, but we'd watch like ER or like Desperate Housewives, whatever it was on. And then Sex and the City would kick off at like 9:30, but my bedtime was like 9:30. When your bedtime's 9:30. Yeah. That feeling when your bedtime's 9:30.
9:30 was so long as well. I feel like it was like all of childhood is 9:30.
Oh, honestly, I wish it was now. I wish I was like go to bed.
No.
Yeah.
And then, but if I was quiet and didn't move, I could like just stay in the room.
Oh, yes, I totally remember that.
Try
as a
and
kid.
Be invisible.
My favorite tactic.
And just get 15 minutes of the show.
Oh,
so
nice.
I've like, it's like very in like, it's formed me, shaped me in a way. And then when I was like 12, there was this big thing at school where like you'd, the guys would cut out pictures of like sexy chicks and put them on the inside of their desk lids at school.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like a huge test for me. And I cut out Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
I was like,
her laptop?
She's so hot.
I fucking love this mid 30s bitch.
And she's a writer.
She's smart.
She's quippy and she's actually quite dark as well.
Yeah.
And she's got an addiction to Manola Blahniks.
She does. She's really bad.
It's so intense. That's it. I also have that stalling behavior, like just coming downstairs and being like, I'm so thirsty. Need a glass of water. And then just like watching like CSI.
My parents just watching like these, these like shows about people just like raping.
I just watched so many through like the stair banisters. Just watched so much rape like as a kid.
And I was like, that's what adulthood is.
It is, I know.
When you grow up, you're just surrounded by it.
I watched this incestual rape scene in this show called The Shipping News. Sorry, this is a horrible, we should do a trigger warning. But
of course.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah. But if you're still listening to us after all.
You get it. And then from then on, I was terrified of my brother because I just thought he was going to.
He was going to do it.
Yeah, he was going to do it. And I had to ask my mum what rape was. Oh, and she was like, it's forced sex because she's dry as a fucking martini, bitch. And then also Tom was probably, anyway, whatever. We don't need to get into my brother's boners or whatever. But like just being a teenager and just being like, not that it was around me, but just the idea of it.
It's so scary.
It's scary. Penises are scary.
They ask. I'm always like, oh my God. Turn it off. What? I just feel like, being exposed to it so early, Sex in the City, not wanting to fuck your brother.
brother.
I've been constantly chasing it. That Cosmopolitan,
Oh my God, I try Cosmopolitans all the time because I don't have I sadly don't have a cocktail that is my cocktail. And I always order a Cosmo. They always suck.
They're
so annoying.
Sweet, aren't they?
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Were you saying Cosmopolitan as in the drink or were you Cosmopolitan lifestyle? Is that what you were about to say? I feel like you're about to say that. And then Andy was like, oh, I love a cocktail. Anyway, go on.
Sadly. No, but I mean, but kind of both.
Yeah.
Cosmopolitan lifestyle, but also having a Cosmo in a club, running around. It's a fantasy and you never will actually reach there because the closest I've got to is today, just running down Brunswick, sweaty.
That's such a great way to put it.
You know, it's never as rose tinted as you think it's going to be. And so it has truly destroyed us.
Imagine catching up with four of your closest friends regularly,
in general,
a couple times a week, to have a meal out
and to be in your 30s and doing that.
Yeah.
And they're boring partners not there.
Yes. Oh my God.
Just being and you'd be like, oh, and sorry, yeah, how's work? You know, and you don't care because you just want to keep gossiping.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen. Yeah. Because how old are they?
40s. 5?
Yeah, Carrie's 35.
68? I don't know. 19. I'm so young. It's really hard to tell when people are older than 25.
So what, they're in their 30s?
Yeah. I think so Samantha's probably 40s. 40.
Yeah.
But everyone else is around probably this time 36, 37. Yeah.
So there's still time.
There's still time.
We could get there.
Well, they have disposable incomes and no kids. Well, apart from Miranda. I guess. Should we get into the IMDb synopsis?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take it away, Irvi.
All right. So every episode we read from KGF Visses, who's some rando that's written up a summary of every episode. And it's got really bad grammar. Sorry, KGF.
Same.
It's just Chris.
It's Chris.
Okay. Miranda feels a double failure as neither motherhood nor professional.
What does that mean? A double failure? Sorry, go on. Yeah, go on.
As neither motherhood nor professional life can get her full attention and her neighbours give her dirty looks about her screaming baby, Samantha feels her own problems, such as a broken vibrator, are no less important and demonstrates her expertise on the subject in the shop. Carrie encourages Samantha to acknowledge that Miranda is now a mother and Samantha eventually offers to babysit Brady while Miranda goes to her hairdresser. When Charlotte feels uncomfortable talking tough with her attractive lawyer about Bunny's divorce terms for Trey. Mm. So she changes. Keith none of this. So she switches.
She changes.
So she switches to his bold partner.
Same.
Harry Goldenblatt.
Oh, good.
Yeah. That's the end.
That's the end. I think that's the major storyline. But
I actually get goosebumps when Harry enters the episode. I remember when I was watching it for the first time, the rewatch. So last year. Mm. And he entered. I was like, full chills. I think I was making dinner and then I'd drop the knife. There he is.
I think the way that they tell, because it's it's a shot of her sitting at the table and it's and that's how she met Harry. And I just feel the way that they tell the story is really cool there too. Mm. The cinematography, if you will.
I feel like this is the most attractive Harry's been in the entire season. I mean, maybe also maybe I'm getting older. So maybe when I was younger, I was like, look, who's that bald man? Mm. Like, he's not very attractive. But in this, he comes in, he's getting his bagel, blueberry bagel. And he says the right thing about it. He's like, well, who the fuck would order blueberry bagel? Would you order blueberry bagel?
No, I wouldn't. Not, so my God, everything is first. But a blueberry bagel, you'd be surprised. It does do the job. You like when with you a bit eat of cream cheese.
Unexpectedly, though, if you're like, oh, this is a savory bagel, and you eat into it, and it's a sweet treat.
It's not a thing. No.
It's very nearing a donut.
Yeah, but it's not a donut either.
Jordan loves just sweet
like
treats.
Do you like muffins, Jordan? Do you like blueberry? Like, would you prefer a cupcake or a muffin?
I'd prefer a muffin. Oh. I don't like cupcakes.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you in this like? Because I don't middle like ground? Icing.
No, I like a muffin.
I fucking
thank
hate
you.
And Cosmos like are delicious. So you're both wrong about that.
I think that the
cranberry juice.
But I think a blueberry bagel is the muffin of bagels.
Oh my God, hold on, I need to lie down.
Is Harry becoming a regular then?
Oh fuck, I forgot that Jordan's never seen the series. You didn't did you even introduce yourself at the top?
Yeah, I did. I said watching them for the first time now.
But you've got no reference. Like you haven't even seen the movies.
No, I haven't seen the movies.
Oh my God.
I've seen a few big spoilers and big being capital B.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen the movies, haven't seen anything. I watched like a few things like on the staircase as well when my parents were watching it. But like and Harry really scratches an itch. There's something about the way that he and like
he comes in confidently. He knows comes what he's in doing. He's, and you know, charismatic.
Yeah, and just like and like I'm like there's a certain charm to that kind of gentleman, you know?
Is this the first time we've met him in the series?
Yeah, it's the first time. And he's also I think it's like, yeah, as you get older, you're like, oh, it would be nice to just have someone who like knew the lore or did something useful.
And doesn't really have like also like weirdly shows like from this like brief glimpse into Harry that I've had, but like shows vulnerability, but also like is like short and kind of uggo, but doesn't.
No, but he's not what Charlotte's looking for.
No, exactly. No.
And then, but he also
isn't that true.
You find it where you listen to back there. It's hot because he doesn't like, I feel like maybe he doesn't have like short man so far.
He seems like pretty confident in himself.
He doesn't have that like Tom Cruise thing.
And that's hot. No. That is so fucking hot when someone's uggo and when someone's, you know, confident, even though they don't necessarily
have a reason to be.
And that's why it's dumb when not to have a hot take about anything, but you know when like men are like, oh, women are looking for this, and it's like, no, people are just
literally
looking,
not
literally for anyone that has a good personality and a way to have sex with them.
I was like more immediately attracted to Harry than I was
Aiden, yeah, because Aiden was wearing all those turquoise rings.
It's because all the rings. It was too much.
He's like obsessed with his dog.
That was fine. Why is it the dog that turns you off from Aiden?
I just don't like people who are like, okay, apart from Jordan, I know I don't think you're obsessed with your dog in the same way.
Even more so. Anyway,
there was something. It was just like something like he was just so like he hated smoking and he loved his dog and it was just.
Harry seems cool. Harry is like, you know, you're at a house party and you sit down and then someone is randomly sitting next to you and then you just have like a really great conversation and you never see them again, but you're like, that house party. Yeah, yeah. Or like that with, or just like in terms of just being, just being like, that was a fucking easy chat. Mm. It was so nice. And I would fuck that person.
Yeah, exactly. And also Charlotte's super hot. So I think there's something really fucking hot about that too. Yeah. I don't know. I love a little.
This is such an, like, season five definitely is like the turning point where all the characters become unbearable. The writers sort of lost hold of who they were. But because Charlotte's season one is so interesting. Mm. I love her because she's like
Art gallery.
She's like having all this casual sex. She's like not a prude. And then there's this turn where she becomes this like psycho. Mm. And I feel like I always am sort of rooting for Charlotte in that sense because like I know who she really is. And then I don't know what happened. Like the network were like, make her more crazy or something. But like season one, Charlotte.
She was crazy in this episode and in the next episode. She's like,
really like she's like biting that Botox.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. Yes. Go on, Chris. Yes.
No, I mean, there's nothing more to add there really, but just like, I. She might be, I love Charlotte the most, I guess is what I'm trying to say, which is hard because she's hard done by because like people mock her the most. But I feel like the writers, like, I don't know, made her a total cliche by sort of beyond sort of season two. It was like all she was obsessed about was like marrying.
Getting married.
It felt like someone who didn't know her started writing for her or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like if, you know, if you have a friend and like you really know your friend or whatever, and then someone else is like, yeah, because she's like this and this and these are.
Must be nice.
I don't know.
I don't know my friends.
Yeah. but then if someone started writing for them and they just like picked out the most kind of basic things about them, I don't know. It's a bit depressing.
Yeah. It does. Because I remember watching it thinking,
I forget that you haven't seen this. Yeah, or just forgetting the premise of this podcast.
But I remember the first couple of seasons being surprised just based on like the way that like we talk about Charlotte's in friendship groups and stuff like that. And then watching the first couple of seasons being like, no, she's like cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
The first couple of seasons she does go out there and then she becomes, maybe this is why I have screamed in like past episodes that I hate Charlotte. But
I was wondering when you were going to chime in because you're like, yeah, Charlotte, she's great. And all the other episodes are like, I fucking hate that bitch.
Anyway. I think it was, no, she was annoying. Like after season two, she just becomes like a really, she's just like not adding that much to the conversation.
No, but she's, yeah, she's a train wreck, but, but it's like, it's almost like it's not, it's almost like the real Charlotte dies in season one. And then like Paul McCartney kind of like, another body double comes in.
So
Paul McCartney
shoes.
Is Charlotte.
I feel the same kind of happens to Miranda. I mean, not Miranda. Yeah. Miranda a little bit. Cause like her storylines are so fucking shit. It's just like, either she's dating someone with like shit on their pants or.
She has never looked worse than this episode.
Like, I know.
And like, I feel like if you were a group of friends out for, I don't know what, do they eat at those? They have like a one salad.
Salad.
And like a couple of pills at that like silver cafe wherever they are. And like, if you saw your friend who was just like, had wet hair, like just like, and not from a shower, but just like from
sweat. And in
sweat.
A stiff neck.
Yeah. She looks so bad.
And she says she feels bad. And I feel like all of them just actively ignore. Well, that's what I found really funny about Samantha in this episode, because I think you see like one of my themes for today. And I feel like Jordan, you have a similar theme.
Yeah.
We talk in themes sometimes.
I love that you've written it down.
I haven't. This isn't having kids. That's like the theme. That's all I've written.
Down
that's
on a book
all
with
my notes.
Huge margins. This is a book for children.
I have bad writing. but having kids. So Samantha in this episode
just
is
deep book this is no, it's having kids.
Page. It's just having kids. And says, Charlotte, not can't be ugly in front of lawyer. Miranda's having kids. Samantha isn't wanting that and she's actively chosen not to do that. So Samantha's absolutely allowed to get her hair cut and do all these things or whatever. Mm. Bringing it up at that point was weird though, especially when Miranda, and I loved.
And the way she did it.
Yeah, she was like, speaking of you looking shit, I'm going to look amazing.
She's performing for the back row.
Oh yeah, always.
Always.
Always. Always. Like, that reminds me, I better book in my like amazing appointment that I've been waiting for 5 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really mean.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I think also this is just, you know, a point in friendships where as soon as someone starts having kids, there is a difference. And we've talked about it a few different times on the podcast. Yeah. Also, it's sad that Miranda has to be the one having kids. Because I think I used to like that because it reminded me of my mum, because my mum's a fucking lawyer and is dry like Miranda. And
she had a kid.
And she had a kid.
She had a kid.
She had a kid. Yeah.
Yeah,
she did. When she was like, like in her 30s. So, yuck, it was old eggs, disgusting. But I used to relate to that. But now I'm like, it's kind of sad. And especially after like then watching Just Like That or whatever later on, which we haven't watched as a group yet. But just being like, it's sad that Miranda's life just goes on this weird tangent. Like she's like doing something, but it's almost great.
It's a real fable, hey?
Yeah, she's had a kid. No, but she's had a kid and it's like, you don't want to have children and you've had a kid.
Yeah. Do you have friends who've had kids?
All my friends are having kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that like?
How's it feeling?
Michael and I are not having kids, but I do think the whole like take of being like kids are gross is sort of
boring.
Shit and boring.
Yeah.
I like hanging out with kids. Like I think they're funny. And I also think like because I'm not going to have kids, Michael and I keep thinking like, oh my God, like who's going to take care of us when we're old?
No, totally.
You know, because it's like so sassy to be like, yeah, we're not having kids. We're just going to go to Disneyland as adults. You know, just gonna spend the money and have fun. And like have this kind of hot take and then like ruin all your friendships with all your friends who have kids. And then you become like 90 and you're like, who's going to help me up the stairs?
Yeah. Yes.
So my idea is that like, I just keep fostering really good friendships with all my friends' kids. And then they'll be like, we should probably help Chris.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
They probably won't though. No, they won't.
None of us will be alive.
No, yeah, we'll all be dead. We'll all be dead because of the asteroid.
Yeah. What if you paid someone to do it?
Oh, yeah, I mean. Brainwave.
I know, I love
it. Because what if your kids decide not to help?
Yeah, exactly. Some kids are shit.
Like, yeah, some kids are shit.
Yeah, and also just like having grandparents, I mean, they're all dead now. Rip Nana. But you know, at some point
you're
you
still
do
cut
stuff.
Up about that.
Yeah, no, I'm sad that she's dead.
That's pretty racist.
Yeah, I think
it is. But I'll take you back.
It's been 2 weeks on to get over it.
She's dead. No, good. I'm glad she was hogging the spotlight. She's at the hospital.
I feel like the indecision is probably where most of the pain comes from because you're like, I feel like you're actively looking. When I think about never having kids, I'm like actively looking at why they're shit. And then if I'm like, maybe one day, then I just like look for like the good qualities.
Totally. Mm.
It's such a crazy call. Like it is just
crazy decision.
It's so insane. And I feel like so many people do it for
bad reasons. No, really. And that's I don't even it. Think about it.
And then it's like, you're bringing like, us in.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Irreversible.
Psycho.
Like, oh my God.
You could create like, one of us. Like it's psycho.
And it's like a crime to like kill it.
You're right. You
it's like irreversible. It's
yeah. I always think about like when if you gave birth to a child that then killed you and how incredible that is to create something out of your own body that then
kills you.
Oh, I'd love that.
There was.
Is how we should die.
Someone just did that recently. Like a kid just killed their
mum.
A kid killed their mum in like the burbs somewhere.
Yeah. Like nearby. Like not too far
out. Not too far from right where we are now. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's someone.
I'm looking real suspicious in the corner. I'm like, who did that?
It's you, Jordan.
I think that's the thing. It's like, if you feel like it's something that you want to do, it's great. But I'm like, for my thing, I'm like, what do I enjoy about life? And if I had a kid, it would ruin my life. You know what I mean? Like in terms
of. It does ruin your life.
It changes your life.
It ruins your life. Sorry. It changes your life. Having both agreed that
for
it ruins
worse.
It. But again, like how, and this is like the issue with something like is sort of in the core of pop culture, like Sex and the City, where it's like, and it sort of spelled out for us how we should be living our lives in our 30s, which is like running around New York with like Cosmos. It also like represents parenting and like and in such a bad light. Like it could not look worse for Miranda. And I don't know that to be true for a lot. Like a lot of my friends are doing fine and they're still like doing what they want to do. And they've got like cool kids who like.
That's really nice to hear actually.
That are like cute little accessories. And,
yes.
You know, they're just they're like a little bag and the kids are funny. And like, you're like, oh, it does kind of work. It can work. It's just like the way that it's been represented is usually by like gay male screenwriters
absolutely.
Who are like, and then Miranda's hair's falling out on the plate,
like,
and then she eats it.
Oh my God.
But also, okay, here's the bit I don't understand. It's like, so Miranda's baby is like screaming all night, and then her neighbor knocks on the door and is like, it's 2 a.m.
I know.
And then but she's also got a child.
I know.
Who's also been screaming all night. And I was like, there's like no.
No.
And then she's like, can't you fix this? It's not like a dog.
No. I feel like that neighbor has a hidden agenda and it's all because Miranda didn't greet her
in the
elevator.
Say hi.
And that's crazy. And then she's like, you're a bad mother. And then she's like, you're not a bad mother. I don't know. Maybe she's trying to like, what is that? Because I feel like
she's calling
out
the racism of the show in a weird way.
Because she's
black, right? And then it's like, she's like, you never talk to me in the elevator.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
And then taking on like the role of being like the help mother doula figure.
Oh
just
my
being
God.
Like, only
oh my
you
God.
Get like this.
She's like this magic chair. Also, the show was like overtly, you know, at the start of the episode.
The Stanford thing.
Literally.
Sorry,
what was it? I tried it down. It was like, she's like, Mishiko Kakutani. And he's like, oh, I thought you were just meaning appetizers.
Yeah, I thought you were ordering an appetizer. Yeah. So bad.
So bad.
Stanford.
And that's not even it.
That's not even
worst thing. That's like barely, that, I'm not even shocked.
No, not at all.
No, I was just like, well,
But I do think that the lesson for like Miranda in all of that was just like, she doesn't have to like be apart from her friends. And I also think that like, fuck me, could they have offered help as well?
Totally.
Or just been like, can I be? I don't think I have, like, I mean, we only see snippets of their lives and they also don't exist.
Charlotte's like literally the one girl.
But I'm just like, has no one offered to like babysit or something so she can go get a haircut? It's like her friends are fucking narcissists, like, which is, it's crazy. But it's also like, I also think that like a lesson for Miranda is like, absolutely keep those friends. Important to keep those friends,
but you have need friends to with babies.
You need to have a mother's group. That's why mother's groups exist.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because my brother has kids now and it's one of
those. Wait, how does that work?
He's
the one that has the bonus?
We got a surrogate. It's, I love him so much. So it's one of those weird things with, we were talking about kids before. I see like so many positive aspects of it, but I do see how it completely changes your life. But it is so, that's why I'm like so on the fence, because I'm like, oh my God, it's so beautiful to create life, blah, 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 and whatever. Anyway, but what were we talking about? Yes. But this made me feel really bad watching this episode, because it just made me be like, fuck me, I can be a shit friend or I can be a shit sibling, because I'm the youngest and because none of my friends have kids yet, my brother having kids and living in Bendigo.
I think it's the Bendigo thing. Though,
I think it's the
anything.
Bendigo. It's like 4 hours away.
I know, but and I don't drive, so like, because I want to stay young. I want to stay 16. Like not offering to help, and not also not knowing how to help, because I feel like none of these people know. And I know a lot of people when they do try and help Tom and his family, they're doing like the wrong things. Like they'll just show up and they'll want to be kind of hosted or whatever. And it's like, they've got two kids under three, or they did. I mean, they're still alive, but they're growing, you know? So, and then people will just be there. They're still here. They're still here. I love them. But people will like not know how to help, you know? No, I did it. I did it.
I was babysitting one night and it just went off. There was that fire. Anyway, one of my closest friends, she's just had a baby and he's so cute, and I feel like now when I go to their house, it's kind of like when you visit like your auntie and uncle or something, and it's just like everything's so well set up. I'm like, I just want her to nap me, and she's just like, she's a really good mom. But I'm like, every time I hold the baby, he's like freaking huge. He's like, he looks like a 1-year-old, but he's only 4 months old, and my arms are like so sore from just like being like, hey baby. It's like a full workout. And one of her arms is like massively, it's like really
deformed.
Because she is like scoops them up. And it's like, not like the Hulk. It's like, just really strong on one side.
Did you tell her that?
No.
You're like, one of your arms is much bigger than the other. You should fix that.
You know how you're loving your body right now?
But she's a really good mum and beautiful.
I do find though, like, and this is like, because none of my close friends have had babies yet, but sometimes like with family and stuff like that, if I go hang out with them, I end up just like babysitting.
That's what you have to do.
But they like pass out, but like I'm talking like 8-year-olds.
Oh no.
I'm like, I'm just here like dancing for a child and they're like gone. And I'm like, where did your mom and dad go? It's happened a bit where I'm like, absolutely. But I also want to like see, like, especially family members. Like I came here to like see you as well. And then I'm just looking after your kid now.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking, they're gone.
I've got these friends as well where like you go to catch up with them and like they live in a different city, and then you end up like
you want to help.
Yeah. And you do want to like connect with their kid, because it's like a part of them and it's part of their world. And but then it all becomes the kid that you sort of forget about them. And then you also feel like your duty as a friend is to like help, like remind them that like
that
their existence is beyond just being a parent. It's like they've got their own life. And
totally.
So then you're like, oh, I'm actually doing like, this is the kind of thing I'm adding, is like I can like bring them back to like their life, but then you're not being helpful
It's actually quite hard to navigate because you do want to, yeah, I think you're so right. You do want to be like, hey, you're a person and I know that because, yeah, I feel like they always forget that they're people. What am I saying?
Robot. I become robot like when I have baby.
Women or like the breastfeeding person as well. It's like you just like I remember mum just being like, I just felt like a milkmaid. And especially if you're going through like postpartum as well. Totally. Like, I mean, that's a whole nother fucking thing, but it's like, it's so like hard. You just feel, and it's so much harder for like
the person who's not
like, nah,
I think it is that hard.
I'm so proud of my friend. She's gonna do, she was like, cause she's like not, she's just like really into mat leave and she's like never wants to go back.
Same.
But she's like gonna become one of those people that like help other women breastfeed.
Oh,
like just voluntarily, because that's like something fun to do.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said I thought in my head like, I was a wet nurse. I was like, that's not what that is.
Which would be so funny if you're like, what's your job? And you're like, oh, I'm a witness.
Oh my god, bring it back.
I reckon it will come back. I feel like it's one of those things that will, like, it's like a paleo diet. Did you know that we always had wet nurses?
Oh my god.
What is a wet nurse?
So it's like when you just remain pregnant or you don't, you never close up your caps.
You never push the baby out.
You never push it out. You just keep it in and just keep it all wet. You breastfeed. You breastfeed other babies.
Right. So like kings and queens and stuff. Like wet nurses, so that the woman didn't have to breastfeed.
Yeah, so titties and going, yuck.
And then I think all those women like just died.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because like some of them
be like that forever.
I don't know.
You can breastfeed for ages.
And also the people who weren't breastfeeding, but were like, because sometimes they just weren't getting rid of their milk at all.
Yeah, so they'll just get hard titties.
What's that thing called?
Mastitis.
Yeah.
We were I just feel like if Miranda had that mother's group, because then they can like share information and stuff like that. But the vibrating, we have to talk about the vibrator well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like we also need to discuss Nina Kantz.
Oh, yes!
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. That's so funny. That's such a big part of it. We always forget Carrie's.
Yeah, because she's so fucking, because hers could be 5 minutes of the show, but it has like to be the through line.
Yeah.
But I am such a Carrie at heart.
I know. Oh, yeah. Same. I think that's why we can't watch it, because I feel like so often it's like, cringe. Who is this ADHD self-obsessed?
Oh my god, same.
Spending person.
You do feel somewhat sorry for Carrie in this episode, because I do think if someone's going around the booker for SNL.
I know, how crazy is that? So like, that's just like their close friend. You're like, hey, that's cool. Funny.
If she's running around telling everyone that you like broke up with someone in a shit way.
Who gives a fuck?
I'm like, she's psycho. She dated, and she's not even with Aiden anymore, right? Like, she's just like, I dated him after you, and ugh.
And the look she gave is so
pronounced. It's like, ugh,
have you ever had someone in your life like that who you're like, I don't really know who you are, but you are trying to destroy me?
Yes, totally. I feel like in high school or a couple of times in uni, just having people who like actively, and not for like long periods of time, just all of a sudden having someone be like a fucking cunt to you, but they're not saying anything. Like they're not actually actively being like, fuck you or whatever. Because I can deal with confrontation. Like that's fine. Yeah. But someone just acting like a fucking,
my superpower.
But like someone just being a fucking cunt, and then you're like, am I fucking psycho? Because I'm so furious by the way that person just spoke to me, because that felt so fucking loaded.
Yeah.
And usually you're right about it, I find.
Yeah.
It's like she's hunting for drama, actually. She's one of those, this is Nina Kantz, and who the name I'll just never forget. And then immediately Googled her, the actress, because I was like, what's she done? Yeah. And she's just like guest starred on like a whole bunch of stuff. But like, she's electric.
Yeah. I'm so glad we got both names for Nina Kantz.
Yeah.
It wasn't totally. Nina.
No.
It
was just Nina. And her job, and then an incredible Heather Graham cameo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I feel like that's why she was the booker for SNL, because they were like, we need Heather Graham in this episode.
Oh, God. I forgot about that as well, which is so funny that I forgot about Heather Graham.
Yeah.
Mm. And then the last scene of this whole episode is like Carrie and the nerdy gay. I always forget their
name. Stanford, rest in peace.
Walking away into the into the streets of New York, absolutely butchering some ad lib. Like, it's the worst dialogue I've ever, because like every line is like, like it's just in the city. It's like these sassy little quips. And then literally they walk off together and she's like, so what did you say to Heather? And he's like, I had nothing to say to her. So I just started talking about pretzels. And like, you're like, what is this drivel?
He's like, I just had, he just says pretzels a billion times. But also right before that, Carrie's just like, I really liked how Carrie keeps getting like yelled at by her friends in this episode because she is like freaking annoying.
Yes.
And every time he's like, what do you think about my relationship? She's like, yeah, he's good. And then moves on to herself.
Oh, because she got the book review, right?
Yeah.
We should talk about that as well.
I don't want
to. Oh, reviews.
Go on, Chris. You brought the Nina Katz thing. Keep going.
Reviews in general is another theme.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
we're at the comedy festival. Yeah.
They really, the way that Carrie was behaving was very, I was like, at this, I couldn't handle it because I was like,
most
just being like, but why would you say, like, what do you think? And then just people being like, it sounds like you had a good time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm hearing, like, and, but it's that thing of being like, and I think she talks about it in this episode, or maybe I was just trying to listen to some positivity podcasts, but like something about like, you can, it's people like 90% of the time are saying good stuff and you'll only take like the 10% that's bad and you'll like hold on to that. Like an interaction with someone after the show and they'll be like, I loved it, so good. And then they'll like briefly pause and you'll be like, that, what was that?
What was good, that? But not great.
So okay, yeah, got it. Okay, great. Yeah.
And you always just hear the one, like you always hear the same, like everyone always says to me now, you've got so much energy out there.
What the fuck does that mean?
And yeah, just like, totally. I'm always like, okay, so I'm the unfunniest person in the world.
Yeah,
I just got like a lot of energy. Cool, I'm just going to jump off like a building now. Thank you so much.
Literally.
Like, as soon as you hear the same, like, one, the same thing compliment again from a different person, it's over for me.
Yeah, totally.
So I think I would love to go out into the streets of New York and like sort of, I'm going to guess 8 a.m., like in a gorgeous sort of dressing, like robe thing and pick up a newspaper and then read something good about myself.
Yes.
Versus like sort of
late at night.
Wake up at night, pull out my phone, go into like the Age
and then scroll
and then read a review and then start reading other people's reviews. Like it's just more glamorous, like the analog way of like.
And then you have to find what this other reviewer has reviewed to be like, okay, but what's their taste?
Exactly. Totally. And find
like
their Twitter.
And
yeah.
This is the first year that I'm not reading, like looking up reviews, and I accidentally saw one and it was a shit one, and I know they came on a shit night. I know they were on Easter Sunday, and I was like, and I just was like, I'll let this, I'll let that define the rest of my life.
How'd you accidentally see it?
I was trying to look up my show to get the link to like put it in a story or something like that, and it came up immediately. And I was like, so can someone bury this? I should hide it from like Google and stuff like that. But I know that feeling where it was like, I was like, okay, so I have all the given context of being like, it wasn't, this is my psychosis. But like that thing with Carrie where, where you're like, it wasn't, I know that it wasn't a great show. I know that the crowd went into it. I know that like most of the crowd were comps and that sucks, but I can't, I was like, but also I'm a piece of shit.
Absolutely.
And the fact that I force people into this room.
And in your brain, you're like, everyone's woken up and they're reading this review about it. You know, like everyone gives a shit. Like, no one's read it.
To the point where like no one's read it, but then you keep bringing it up and you're like, oh, so I just like, I feel like I'll just repeat that one line. I'm like, anyway, so someone said this. And then it's like worse when they don't say anything back. And you're like, what do you reckon?
Honestly, I could have not brought it up. And now listeners, look it up.
I know.
They're still not going to because no one cares.
Reading a review, unless you like invested in it for some reason, is like the worst. Like, why the fuck would anyone bother?
Literally. I bet you if they were like the Age or whatever, Chortle, like just released like how many clicks they've had per review, it would be like the exact same amount of people that like are just doing the festival.
Yes.
And that's it.
100%.
Like, there's no one else. Like, who? I'm not reading a review for anything. Like, are we reading reviews for like
not even TV shows,
movies or TV shows?
No, I like look at IMDb to see what it was like rated out of 10, but that was pretty much it.
Literally. It's, I also was reminded as well in this episode of the of Carrie's book.
Oh my god.
She wrote a book. Well done.
When she was talking about getting like all these like reviews and stuff like that, and she was so stressed about it, I was like, you didn't work on this at all.
No, because it's like a compile of her old
I would be stressed, babe.
how amazing, like,
that would be great, though.
Pre-internet, to be able to, like, write columns and then be like, oh, well, let's just publish them all together in a book. And everyone's like, yeah, because we can't
have
just
blogs.
Have them on the line.
Yeah. That's true. And it's like a little TikTok book, you know, because it's just little columns. So it's nice and easy. And that, oh my God.
I would love to read it, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's all based on the person that wrote the Sex and the City thing, right? Candace
Bushnell or something.
But I don't know. Why do we know any facts?
She's got.
I've been doing this for so long.
A real like Butch Dyke name.
Does she?
Yeah, Candace Bushnell.
Is that her name? If that's her name.
It sounds like a Southern Belle.
Oh yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think with the theme of reviews, also another theme we're going to talk about is like trying to own the narrative after you go through a breakup, or like it's like just trying to control what other people think of you by being like, I'm a pleasant, nice girl that everyone needs to love all the time because I never do anything wrong. I feel like it just fits in with that whole thing of reviews. And
it was so interesting when Carrie was like, but they need to know my perspective. And I was like, what's your perspective?
You fucking cheated on
them. Like, I'm just like, you don't come off good.
That's interesting, like where we leave off, because she's like, yeah, I guess at the end of the day, the biggest critic is myself or me. And she's like letting herself off the hook. Like, no. She's like smiling in her little green dress, like, yeah, I am being too hard on myself, and runs away. I've been like, there's absolutely no reconciliation. She's like, yeah, it's pretty hard when you're pretty tough on yourself. Like, no, it's hard when you cheat on someone
exactly
for them.
Yeah.
But she doesn't ever, she's like, she never learns the lesson.
No. Yeah, maybe it's okay that Nina Katz made that face. I mean, I know that's fucked, but like maybe it is, like, Harry, you did cheat on someone and then push, was it, has she pushed someone down the stairs yet?
Yeah.
Or is that... has that happened?
Yeah,
that's happened, right?
Yeah.
And she pushed someone down the stairs and they broke her tooth.
Yes. He also
and
like
she wore that newspaper dress and like stalked that bitch. And then, not bitch, sorry, that 25-year-old child.
Wait.
Big fiancé.
Why was she back? So the first time she broke up with Aiden, she was cheating on him, and then she got together and then they broke up again?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, yeah, and then when she's talking to Steve.
Again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God, the Steve chat. And Steve's was so
like,
funny.
He was in bed for a month. And she's like, a month? And she's like, a few days at least. Like, it's like, yeah, a month
Carrie
is a normal
give a fuck.
Time.
She did not give a fuck. It both break up. She's been like, oh, that kind of, that made me sad.
And like, also so iconic to be talking to Steve about this and not once be like, oh, yeah, by the way, Miranda's really struggling.
Sad, I know. Oh, Carrie.
Put down the basketball and pick up a baby.
Miranda doesn't look well. Like, just something. So
do you think, I always wonder though, like, would I still be friends? It's so hard not to be sort of intoxicated by the SJP of it all.
Mm.
But like, I don't know if I would be friends with Carrie in real life or not.
I couldn't, because I think I just like watching the TV show and finding her the most annoying. I think it's because she reminds me the most of me. But
I'm so
I was just going to say, and with my parents' breakdown.
You have a phone wallet.
Oh, no, so do I. So bring it back.
Phone wallets. I can't believe we've all got phone wallets.
We need it.
My parents hate it because they think I'll lose all my shit, but I'm like, so be it.
So
I love that rebelling is having a phone wallet, something that like 50-year-old so people have. Like, yeah, we're crazy. Am I free? But yeah, I forgot what I was saying. No, don't worry about it.
I think I could be friends with Carrie because she does have fun stuff and she does invite you to cool. And like, I just feel like the chat is good enough in terms of like, I feel like I
would. And
talk
let's about be honest, though. There are so many more psycho people in comedy. It's like if you're not going to be friends with Carrie, you might as well quit.
I don't think she couldn't be like a first tier friend.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
she could be like she would be like third, fourth tier.
She would definitely invite you. She's great for the example of like the beginning of this episode, like to invite you to like your boyfriend's cabaret.
Yes,
Broadway review show.
She'd be good for that.
She'll like have a good time. And
that's so funny.
I love that even they dump on theatre. And I'm like, SJP loves Broadway. Like,
I know.
What are you talking about? Turning her back on the boards like that.
That was also very triggering in this season.
Oh my God.
I got dragged along to this little shitty show in a boardroom somewhere. I find I also think that I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't think I could be friends with Carrie because I think she would only talk about herself, and I think I would want to talk about myself. But if someone has a bigger personality than me, I'll let them talk, and I can't handle it.
Yeah,
and also I was gonna say my thing with Carrie being like, I want people to know my perspective. I feel like I chronically want people to know that I know that I'm flawed as like a weird self-protection thing. Like or be like someone did that weird face, I'd be furious because I'd be like, don't they know that I know that I can do fucked things sometimes?
Yeah, totally.
And like, who the fuck are you judging me? Like, I do fuck things. I know I do. Like whatever. Like, you don't, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's what I do, I think. It's not me being like, people need to know that I'm really great. It's me being like, people need to know that I can do fucked things.
Yeah, whatever. Totally.
I think I'm even worse. I'm like, people just need to know that I'm like nice at heart. It's just like so boring and like toxic femininity.
Yeah.
Like, I hope no one ever thinks I'm not nice.
Yeah.
But having good intentions.
Yeah.
Like, just a clunky person with good intentions. Yeah.
Which is weird. Like, if you're a Samantha, you're truly free.
Totally. Yes. Samantha's
like,
the best.
And that's like kind of almost like Buddhism or something. Like, I know. You know, if you are like, if you just fuck and don't give a fuck,
it's so good.
And she's a good friend.
And she's a good
this
friend.
This episode, she gives
turns
away.
Up.
She turns up. And she actually babysits. And why the fuck isn't Carrie babysitting?
Why isn't she
at home being like, I'm just watching TV with all
How's
this?
That moment honestly. When Miranda's like, it's just nice that you ask.
Yeah.
It's enough that you asked how I am.
And Carrie's like, okay.
If I can do anything.
Yeah, I can do that. Sure.
Okay.
I'll just robotically ask you at the end of my spiels how you are.
Yeah. Like, she's like, is there anything I can do? I got to go get my shoes.
Fuck me.
But also how ridiculous, like, Carrie's like, you really need to be there for, like, telling Samantha you really need to be there for Miranda when she could have babysat or done something during that time.
Yeah, given her job is nothing, as Nina Katz's Vogue friend points out, being like, well, you wander in once a month.
Yeah, literally.
She doesn't have a job. Like, she's got so much time.
And so does Charlotte. Like, she's literally just like, all she needs to do is just like sign some papers and she's got this like massive apartment. And
that's
like,
amazing.
Nothing to do.
She is obsessed with babies as well.
Yeah, it's like of all people.
Yeah, why does Miranda let Charlotte help more? I know why.
Why?
She'll steal the baby.
Have you seen her eyes? She's fucking crazy. I think that's what we've established. Post-season one, Charlotte is a star. She's a baby napper. Yeah.
I also want to say I'm hating the fashion this season, the tail end of this season. There's some stuff that sticks out, but overall I'm not enjoying the colours, the cuts.
I hate when Miranda gets her hair done. Once her hair's done, I'm like, hated it.
It looks better wet.
I hated the cut. Bad.
So wild.
But Samantha shows up. She gives her baby a vibrator, which is great. I think that's fine.
I fully gasped unintentionally when her vibrator didn't work. When she like pulled out and I went,
I was thinking the same thing. It's worse when you're just about to get off and then your vibrator dies. And especially if you have one of those rechargeable ones.
Yeah.
Because you're then like, you're like, I have to wait in. And then I'm just gonna pee and then I won't be horny anymore.
And you're just sitting there like and you're like, how long do I need? Not long. I just need
I just need it to like blink its light for like 1 second.
Yeah.
So depressing.
We should rate the episode.
Yeah. Let's rate the episode.
Beautiful. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I give this episode a 6.
A 6?
Yeah, 6 out of 10.
Nice.
I give it a 6.5 just because I feel like it had some strong points. Like the vibrator scene was cool. And that's it.
Yeah, I don't think
okay, it's confrontational.
Yeah, I think I give it like a 7. I liked it. I was like in the writer's room when I could just imagine
you in the writer's
being
room
like, I was in the writer's room.
Oh my God.
I was note taking and I got fired for contributing too much. But I just could imagine them being like, and we'll get Samantha to look after the baby.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it does feel like they're in this trope territory of being like, who's the sluttiest who can take care of the child? And like, you know, and then like Charlotte is wearing dresses and like that kind of thing. I felt like they're just like in tricks territory. Like the next episode, they'll be stuck in a lift or something.
Yeah.
Have you given anything a 10?
Yeah, I think so. We have, haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, earlier seasons.
Earlier seasons,
I'd probably give this episode an 8, I think, in terms of we meet Harry. It's a pivotal moment, I think, but that's watching it backwards, I guess, like knowing what he brings to the series. I think a Heather Graham cameo.
Oh, yeah.
So nice.
Iconic.
And then like a fun, frothy sort of vibrator storyline.
Yeah.
That sequence in the tech store with all the women looking like getting advice from
really
Samantha.
Fun. That was
cute.
It's beautiful. So I think for all that, about an 8. Yeah. And then just like, yeah, there's Carrie who brings it down because she's acting like a total psycho.
But we want that.
But
well.
We want that. We
it feels like a good capsule episode of what Sex and the City is.
Yeah.
If you show that and, yeah, people would be like, great, there's sex in it. There's like interesting relationships. There's friendship dynamics.
Who has sex
there's no sex.
I had sex in
it. Oh.
It's very I can watch it.
Yeah, there's no sex in this episode, really.
Well, there's a vibrator. Steve.
And he's sex on legs. Steve's
true.
Steve's
so Gary.
Yeah.
Steve is so hot.
Steve can be really hot.
That's crazy to me.
Why is he always like playing basketball?
I'm here being like, Harry can absolutely get it.
Yeah.
Steve, I'm like,
Steve
nah.
is unbelievable. No, really? Steve is it. Yeah.
Because really? I always think that Steve reminds me the most of my partner that I have now out of all the other male people.
Oh, don't say that about us.
No, but he's like hot. He's like, Alex is super hot. And Alex, you know, was a period of time really muscly, but then like really sweet and sensitive.
Because Steve's surprisingly ripped, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like,
because but he's always can't play playing basketball outside of steps. Well. Like, he's always like, yeah, Carrie.
But he's so bad. He's so bad at it. Anyway, whatever. Steve's so okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. great. Well, that's awesome. It.
Thank you so much for coming. Yeah, we did it. I'm so glad you made it.
I'm so glad 45 minutes late. Like, it was so iconic.
No, yeah, but it's comedy festival and fucking I'm dead inside. I'm so tired.
So
guys.
Crazy we're even here. So
we needed that 45 minutes.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm surprised we strung a sentence together, to be honest.
Yeah. There were moments where we were all just like
anyway. And there's like, no structure to this.
I was just like, yeah, it's funny because Carrie's like a woman, I don't know, like, and I'm yeah, it's like
actually, I woke
people
up.
Like,
in a
so
panic.
True.
I woke up at like, I like shot up in bed at like, I went to bed at like 3 a.m. just like from like doing nothing and then like woke up at maybe 6:55 thinking I'd missed the whole like,
yeah, like, totally.
My podcast.
I was like, no, the girls will never forgive me. But
this is the first episode we've done in like 6 months.
Yeah, so we're coming back.
We're back,
wow.
baby.
We had a hiatus. I also love the irony of us being like, and kids, you get no social life. It changes your life. Meanwhile, like, I haven't seen my family in months.
Yeah,
I'm exhausted.
I'm not happy. No.
None of us are happy.
thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
It's my dream. All I want to be is like in a room of women talking about Sex and the City.
Yeah, no, it's
pretty
good.
Fun.
It's so.
Oh, it's my alarm. Jesus, I'm sorry, everyone.
So calm. It made me relax.
I know. It made me feel
that
relaxed.
Is really, I felt really good as well. Yeah, but I felt like there was like a gas was going to come out.
Oh, it does.
And we were going to pass out. all right, that's the end. Great. Thanks, everyone.
Awesome. Good job.